Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
We are a week away from the Virginia gubernatorial election. And this is a great opportunity to look at where we are in our country and where the Biden administration, how it is viewed in our country. I'd like to say that Virginia is a perfect study because it's a purple state, but it's not. Virginia has become a blue state. It was a purple state for a couple of decades, and it was a great study on how things were going by a very informed electorate. But that changed, and I'll tell you why it changed. Number one, the progressives got much better at getting their voters out for the Democrat Party. And number two, the area of fastest wealth growth in this country has been in Washington, D.C. But you don't want to live in the district. You've got higher taxes, higher crimes, crappy schools. So you live in Maryland, or ideally, you live in Virginia. And where you live in Virginia depends on how often you have to drive into the district. If you're a staffer who has to be in to work every day, you live on the edge. But if you're a lobbyist who doesn't, you can live a little further away. Virginia is one of the most beautiful states in the Union. Why wouldn't you want to live there? You make a lot of money lobbying for, Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, the munitions makers. You get the point. So a climate change award recipient, green energy, electric technologies. So it's turned blue because those people will vote for the left, because you might end up with somebody on the right that wants to cut spending. But you look at what's happening in Virginia, and most of you are saying right now, how can anybody vote for the Democrats today? We've got a border crisis. And by the way, we got 3,000 that just started in Mexico that are headed here with signs that say Biden for all, who are saying they are going to refuse to be stopped at the border. There is reportedly 50,000, 50, coming from South America that are making their way through the most treacherous part, which is through Panama. A Panamanian general is said to have arrived to stop them and watched as they passed. You don't have to be a genius, and Virginia is less hard hit than Texas, Arizona, and California, at least in the short term. You don't have to be a genius to figure out we got a border crisis on our hand. You don't have to be a genius to figure out that what happened in Afghanistan was a complete debacle, but it doesn't hit home for most people in Virginia. But what's going on in the schools? What's going on in the schools matters. Critical race theory is real. Critical race theory is bad, and parents know it. And the big question here is, should parents be deciding what the schools teach, or should school administrators be deciding what the schools teach your children? Here is Terry McAuliffe weighing in on his side. No? It's that Twitter audio. Terry McAuliffe says, I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Veto books, Glenn. Not to be knowledgeable about it. Also take them off the shelves. And I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decision.
You vetoed it.
So
through our parents.
You've stopped the bill that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. I get really tired.
Among parents of children, kindergarten through 12th, Glenn Youngkin, the Republican, is currently leading Terry McAuliffe 56-39. I've got polling information, which if I can pull it up, here we are. This should tell you everything you need to know about the two parties. This is the last poll in Virginia. The question, should parents or school boards have more of an influence on a school's curriculum? The parents of, Republicans say 79% say parents, 12% say the school boards, 9% say undecided. So 79% believe the parents should. Take that to Democrats. Should parents or school boards have more of an influence on the school's curriculum? Democrats, 16% say parents. 70% say the school board, 14% undecided. And finally, among independents, 57% say the parents, 32% say the school board, with 10% undecided. If you believe that you should be in charge of your children's education, even if you pay taxes in order for the school to handle it so you can be at work all day, you are a Republican. If you believe, trust the experts, they're smarter than us, they'll take care of it, then you are a Democrat. Interesting how that theme carries through. If you believe that the individual should make decisions for himself as to whether he takes what they're calling a vaccine but isn't and still isn't approved by the FDA. If you believe that is for the individual to review the facts and determine based on their own health level and where they fit into those demographics, then you are a Republican. If you believe Dr. Fauci is king, whatever he says goes, and you submit to what he says or else you're a bad person because he said so, then you are a Democrat. If you believe in the individual making a choice for the individual as to what's best for them, you are a Republican. If you believe the state knows more than we do, we just do what they tell us, then you are a Democrat. It's pretty simple. These themes will come through again and again. If you believe that responsible people should be able to pass basic barriers and own a gun for their own protection, then you are a Republican. If you believe people are all evil and they don't know what they're doing and only the cops and the bad guys should have guns, and if a bad guy's there with a gun, you call the cops and hope they get there in time, even if they won't, then you're a Democrat. That's not oversimplification. It's pretty simple. Once that breaks down, let's get to the core of it. Let's get to the core. Who do you believe should be raising children? The state or the individual? The answer to that most likely tells who and what you are.
The Michael Berry Show. Michael Berry.
I'm just a singer, a natural born guitar ringer, kind of a clinger to sad old songs. I'm not a walk behind.
Let's take some calls from the people.
I'm a new note.
713-212-5874. 713-212-5874. Back to the... Did you find the Terry McAuliffe audio? because as part of that audio, there is Terry McAuliffe claiming that the election in Georgia was stolen from Stacey Adams. Now, we've been told for a year now that questioning the results of an election undermines democracy. So, Terry McAuliffe, they roll in Stacey Abrams. She's the big, fat, black lady who was running for governor of Georgia and lost and refused to concede and went around still saying that she was the governor. This woman has gotten rich because George Soros and other people have given her a lot of money since then to travel around the country and be black and claim that blacks are being cheated out of our elections. Because if only Stacey Abrams had won, if only Barack Obama had won, if only Sheila Jackson Lee had won, if only Maxine Waters had won, if only Sylvester Turner had won, if only the black candidates would win, your life would be better. You wouldn't be struggling today. Your electricity wouldn't get cut off. Your streets wouldn't be unsafe. If only Stacey Abrams had won, if only Barack had won, if only we had more blacks in office, your life would be better. How's that worked out? Did it make your life better? Did it help? But that's okay. Just keep falling for it, Charlie Brown. Lucy's not going to move that ball this time. They can't keep duping you again. Can they? Well, maybe they can. You know, they stole that election from Stacey Abrams.
And he's running down the democracy saying their elections are not fair.
The next day.
She would be the governor of Georgia today had the governor of Georgia not disenfranchised 1.4 million Georgia voters before the election. That's what happened to Stacey Abrams. They took the votes away.
Joe Biden was running for re-election as vice president, and he was pitching for Barack Obama, 2012. And he gives a speech where he's talking about Mitt Romney, and he tells a black audience that Mitt Romney's going to put you back in chains.
Romney wants to let he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put you all back in chains.
Can you imagine? You stupid black people, you'll fall for this. He wants to put y'all in slavery.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, slavery. Whip you. Haven't you seen Roots? That's what he wants to do to you. Yeah, yeah. He's going to call you all Kunta Kinte. He's going to do it. It's what he's going to do. He's gonna do that to you. You're all going to be slaves again. You won't be able to run. You won't be able to be called Toby. You'll all have to be named Toby. And you go, wow, that's horrible. He did that? And nobody called him on it? Like, black people went out and voted for Barack Obama again after that? Oh, yeah, that's not the end of it. 8 years later, this same white man is still declaring that if you don't vote for him, you're not even black.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
I mean, at what point do blacks say, enough? Now, I know there's 5,000 black folks trying to call into our phone right now going, Michael, I don't believe that. I know you don't, Bubba. I got it. You figured it out. But sadly, that's going on in this country. And sadly, the black celebrities, the Steve Harveys and the Chris Rocks, they're in on this crap too. They're in on it too, and they're giving credence to this. They're promoting this, all the white people hate you. You couldn't pull that on white people. Imagine if you went out to NASCAR. They're trying to take away your NASCAR. They don't want to let you drive cars. Well, actually, technically they don't. You know, y'all aren't going to be able to, ladies, you won't be able to wear Golden Goose shoes anymore. You won't be able to buy them anywhere. Fellas, you won't be able to wear those Cloud Nine shoes that came out of nowhere and all the white people wear now. You won't be able to. You won't be able to wear white socks halfway up your calf muscle and cargo shorts to mow the grass on Saturday.
Really? They're going to take that away from us?
All right, 713-212-5874. Manny, you're up.
Michael, wanted to respond to a comment you made about, I appreciate that analogy you made about with the pandemic, if we were keeping score, we would see that our side is taking a shellacking. That is very true. And if we expanded that, take that as a microcosm of the wider issues in society, let's go back to the beginning of the progressive era, 1890s, whatnot, where we were as a society. We can see what it actually means when we hear, oh, you know, you should compromise. Won't you compromise? Won't you be reasonable? Every time we do this with the left, we, first of all, it's not a compromise because we never get anything. They always get everything. It's only a matter of how much of an increment are they going to get now before they come back in a month, in a year, in 5 years. And it seems that so many people on our side do not seem to understand this. It's, you know, and some of them you would expect they would understand, so they don't want to appear unreasonable, so they'll entertain red flag laws and all this other stupidity that you don't understand. You're ceding more territory to the left, and consequently, what is moderate and what is right and what is constantly gets redefined, so that today anybody who was used to be moderate some years ago, now we're right wing extremists. You know, it's unbelievable. Go back to the early 20th century. We had no income tax. We had no central bank that manipulates our money supply. I mean, we constantly give away more and more territory, and we're always the ones that are the problem, not the other side. They're always true to their progressive nature. They even tell you they're never going to be happy until they ruin everything and rule over your life. Every step of the way. And we understand that, but what I find more, I accept it from the left, that's who they are, but what does it take to make more people on our side understand this?
You know, Manny, you everything you said is correct. And I will tell you, the greatest asset of the steamrolling left, their greatest weapon is naivete. I talk to so many people, and I know you do, we all do, who, and I even, people that listen to the show, and they'll go, man, I love your show now, honestly. I know that it's all an act, and you don't really believe it. I mean, things aren't that bad. But, I mean, I get it. You know, you have to do that. Wait, what? I never say anything I don't believe. Oh, okay, come on. I know it's not that bad, but, you know, they're both sides are bad. And most people do not believe that the left would possibly ever do what they do. I remember when it came out that they were spying on us, when Snowden revealed it. There wasn't a huge outcry. It was ignored. Because if you admitted they could do that, you would admit they can do anything. So people just went back to, Kim Kardashian's divorcing Kanye? Bye.
On the grass, the lunatic is on the grass, remembering.
Joe Rogan now says that his doctor who prescribed him ivermectin treated 200 members of Congress with ivermectin. That's almost half of Congress. Pretty big story. Wonder how come the media is not covering it. That must mean that he took horse dewormer, and a bunch of members of Congress did too. Huh. Dave, you're on the Michael Berry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Michael. I've got a question for you, and it's a very simple question. Why can't the Texas State Attorney General go ahead and file a suit against Fauci on behalf of the people, number one, for the losses that we've had? And number two, why can't the State Attorney General swear out a warrant for the arrest of the Secretary of Homeland Security and the President of the United States for human trafficking and aiding and abetting drug trafficking?
Sure, why not?
No, seriously, Michael.
No, me too.
Why not? Nobody's above the law. Nobody's above the law in our statute of law. And they're breaking federal law by allowing people to come across the border, traffic humans, and traffic drugs. Why aren't we going after them for not enforcing the law, number one? And why aren't we going after Fauci for knowingly doing what was wrong?
Seems like a great idea. I'm all in. RJ on the Black Line, you're up.
Michael, the problem is the adults in the room, we don't convey the message well enough to our youth about the importance of these elections, about the importance of these choices. The right is doing that. The schools are doing, the churches, like you said, the celebrities, especially the black celebrities, always pushing this agenda. And we don't do that. You know, I get the opportunity to mentor nieces and nephews, you know, friends, family members, their children. I was at dinner the other day and you know, got a text message and, you know, from one of my right buddies. And, you know, my in-laws were kind of sitting around like, oh, you know, you look into that stuff too much. That's why you see it. I was like, no, I look into this stuff because I want to be informed. If you believe these things and you don't like what's going on, to just stick your head in the sand gets us nowhere, because they're definitely pushing their agenda. That's like telling the kid that's getting beat up every day that there's no bullying in the school because you haven't got punched in the mouth. They don't understand the importance of teaching the youth what's going on, and that's why we see this progression of left-wing agenda every day, every day, every year. You know, and now, like you said, you know, Virginia's getting flipped. A lot of these states are going to start getting flipped, because when it comes time for these young kids to start voting and start being part of that process, this is all they know. Because, you know, like I said, if it's not in our neighborhood or if it's not in our region, we don't really get that message put across. And to the, you know, what your last caller just said, you know, they are above the law. Even though it doesn't seem that way, look at all the nefarious things that not only this administration but the administration before it has done, and nothing has happened to these individuals. If we the people don't take a stance and start doing something and speaking up, we're just going to get steamrolled constantly. It's frustrating when people, you know, on the right are, oh, well, you know, we have to give and we have to. No, they give nothing. They constantly take and give nothing. There is a them versus us. We are living in a country that is absolutely divided down a line. You're going to have to make a decision of what side you're on and fight for that position. If you don't fight for it, I'm a veteran. I fought. I know what it means to fight for a country. And just, I'm not myself or none of my brothers are going to lay down and just give it away. It's not going to happen. That's all I got, Mike. I'm being heated up, man.
You know, I am reminded of when Hitler was beginning to flex his muscles, but he did not announce to the world that he was going to be attempting a world takeover. He instead began laying the case that Germany was being wronged and he was going to stand up for the German citizens. Now, internally, he was whipping his people into a fervor and he was making sure he had a command, a controlling command, top to bottom, complete loyalty, preparing his people to follow him into war. Well, he starts making the case because what he's doing is he's going to test the resolve of other countries. After World War I, nobody wanted to go back into a world war. World War I was known as the war to end all wars. Nobody wanted more of that. And by the way, Hitler was hit by mustard gas and had temporary bouts of blindness. He wasn't thrilled about seeing bullets fly himself, but he had an agenda. And what he did is he claimed that in the Sudeten, or the Sudetenland as it became to be known in Czechoslovakia, that German soldiers were being killed. It's questionable now whether it was true or not, that on the border German soldiers were being killed, and that he had no option but to respond because the Czech citizens there were actually German by nature, by identification. So he goes into the Sudetenland, he rolls the tanks through, and he watches to see in this minor incursion how the Soviets, the Americans, and the Brits, and to a lesser extent the French, are going to respond. And Neville Chamberlain flies out to meet with him. And Chamberlain famously flies back, and he's won peace. And he shows the peace sign. He says, there will be peace in our time. It's not going to be a war. I talked to Hitler. We're going to give this compromise. The rest of the world was not ready for war, but Hitler was. The rest of the world was not obsessed with their mission and their destiny, but Hitler was. We're going through our lives. I mean, it doesn't make us bad people. We want to be left alone. We don't want to have to fight. We don't want to have to everything be nasty and a knockdown drag out. But the left does. And there comes a point when the bully steals your lunch so many times you get hungry and you punch back. We're not there yet, but I think we might be getting close.
Well, it's the Michael Berry Show.
Is the president and CEO of the National Association of Wholesaler Distributors, a trade group that represents an industry with nearly 6 million workers. They are pleading with the administration to delay the December 8th vaccine mandate deadline. They are concerned that catastrophic supply chain disruption will result. And they're right. Here's what he says.
What's going to happen on December 8th, you think about this, just a couple of weeks before Christmas, we're going to be forced to lay off, because the executive order tells us to do this, tens of thousands of Americans. And most of them are the folks that can at least afford to be laid off right before Christmas. And on top of that, it's going to exacerbate the problems with the supply chain. And so if you're thinking about getting something under your Christmas tree here in a couple of months, when the supply chain is most robust and busy throughout the year, to add these challenges now, we think is a problem. And so we've called on the administration to amend the executive order.
So let's get this straight. In the month of August, a record number of people quit their jobs. Now, this doesn't include those that were fired. 4.3 million Americans quit their jobs in protest of this mandate. 4.3 million Americans quit their job in August alone. It'll end up being more than double that by December. 8 million Americans will have quit their job. Employers reported a near all-time high in job openings. They don't have to fill every job for which someone quit, but they got to fill most of them. And yet, the vaccine mandate deadline is not even here yet. It's about 45 days away. December 8th. Let's see. December 8th. So you fire a bunch of people 2 weeks before Christmas. Wonder how that's going to affect the Christmas season. For the employees who lose their jobs, for the consumers who go to stores where you can't buy anything, How about the airlines? Think Christmas travel was bad 2 years ago? Wait till they have fewer staff. And it's not just airline stewards. The guys throwing the bags. The guys loading the bags. The back office employees. The people who code the algorithms that determine whether seats open up at the last minute and what the pricing will be. It's an entire city of people on the back office functions of an airline that you will never come in contact with. All of that, December 8th. Well, what happens is, just before that, Joe Biden becomes Santa Claus and says, we have been asked by industry, hey, what's going on over there, to civil rights are good. And is my wife here anywhere? Because I'd like to sniff that little girl's hair. Hair is good. Corn Pop was a bad guy. So the Biden administration comes out and announces, we're going to extend it 1 month. We're going to give you one more month. You don't get it. We've had a year to take your gene therapy treatment that is not even approved by the FDA. They told you it was. It is not. Trust me on this. It is not approved as a vaccine by the FDA. We've had a year to get it. It's not like we were busy, distracted, weren't aware. It's not like it cost us money. You're giving us toys. If you give us $100 here and tickets to this concert there, guess what? We don't want it. We're not going to take it. New data out of United Kingdom and Israel showing all sorts of side effects to taking the vaccine. It is not always a good thing to attempt to replace our natural immunological system. Believe it or not, the human body is a thing of beauty. I never forget, I was a catcher. I was 12 years old, and Brandon Landry was one of our best pitchers. And he could throw strikes every pitch if he wanted to, but then throw it in the dirt to strike you out. And in traditional Little League, as opposed to the Pony Colt style Little League that they, I think that was called, I forget what they call that. On a third strike, if you swung and missed, you couldn't run and take first. So it didn't matter if he could get you to swing. Well, that has nothing to do with the story. It just made me think of it. He throws a fastball and this kid pops it up halfway between home and the pitcher. Well, you're supposed to take your mask off. But I found that my arm wasn't strong enough to throw my mask off and still throw it to second. So I got in the habit of never taking my mask off. I didn't feel like I needed to. And so I didn't. And I didn't on that play. To my good, to his harm. So I'm wearing the cage across my face as I go sprinting out halfway in between to get this pop-up. And so does he, and neither one of us calls it because it didn't hang in high enough. Bam! We smash into him. I caught it. Which I smash into him, and I slice his eye, the lid of his eye. Now, I tell that story to tell this. The lid of his eye is not the part that's visible when he's looking at something. And he says he didn't see me coming, so he didn't consciously close his eyes. His body reacted without his conscious decision to do so, to protect his eye. Our body has so many ways we fight off illness, so many ways that when we're exposed to illness, we fight back and build back better. We actually really do. It's not always the case that you can go and create something that improves upon that. But that's not what this was ever about. Pfizer has 26 lobbyists in Washington, D.C. Johnson & Johnson and Moderna, those guys are getting wealthy. Their stock prices are through the roof, as are Amazon, Google, Walmart, Facebook. They're all getting rich. They're driving the stock market. You're losing your jobs, losing your wealth, and losing your freedom. Exactly what the Democrats wanted.